W-H-T-O.
That's W-H-T-O. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know you're welcome on W-H-T-O, Randolph County Radio.
From Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll-free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Excuse me. Good morning. It is 9:27. I'm Jeff. This is the People Speak. Hope you're having a good morning. I'm going to be talking today with Congressman Mike Bost, who's joining us. How are you doing this morning, Congressman?
I'm great, Jeff. I say that it's been kind of a rough week trying to help people around. Not only here in the state of Illinois, we're in the northern part of the district. We had the wall collapse at the Amazon building last Friday during the tornadoes and the storms, but also, that storm that moved across the three states south of us, the damage that was there, many of the people from my district in the far south were immediately down to try to help them through that as well. The tragedy, the one that hit up at Amazon, I think their rating is an EF3. And it caused a collapse of the wall there. It was probably 100 yards long, and then the loss of the roof, and 45 employees, were rescued out of there. But, six fatalities. They're still doing some ongoing searches, trying to, because they were in the middle of a shift change. We've just got, and the bright side is that, we'll give credit where credit due. We all started working with the local elected officials. But the governor stepped up, made his request fairly fast for help, and then the administration quickly responded. I know the original request was for 28 counties that had been hit worst by the storm, and we got approval on 13 of those counties. Most importantly, on Madison County, where they saw the most damage. So, and then also, like I said, in out of Alexander County, this most southern part of my district. By 1 o'clock, 1 a.m., the night that the tri-state tornado came through, we had emergency service personnel that voluntarily went down and worked well over 24 hours until they just couldn't go anymore, trying to do the search and rescue and help everywhere that they could. And I know we have others going down now to try to help them dig out, because it doesn't matter whether it's across state lines or not. We need to provide that help. I think it's amazing that unfortunately, the one thing I do disagree with the administration on, they brought up the fact that, well, this is caused by climate change. Well, actually, I don't know that it is, because if it would climate change, your tornado alley would have moved. And the reality is that if people know their history, in 1925, almost an exact identical tornado came through. Matter of fact, it destroyed my hometown of Murfreesboro, and the most deaths ever occurred. I think 289 deaths in Murfreesboro alone. The whole storm killed over just under 700 people, and it went over three states just like that one did. It was 217 miles long. I think this one is 227 miles long, or 230 miles long, somewhere around there. Winds in excess or in Murfreesboro, or in the tri-state of 25, that said the winds were in excess of 300 miles an hour. I don't know how they measured that, because these were pretty accurate, 273. But whenever you start saying, oh boy, it's climate change, I don't know that that's the case. That being said, what you need to do is find out what you can do better to protect the people. And I think what happened in 25 brought about the early warning systems, the tornado whistles we hear in most of our communities today, as well as the National Weather Service. And that, tied with technology, makes it to where a storm of that's similar goes through an area like it did in 1925, and instead of having 600 deaths, we're less than 100. So, I mean, we're still got our hopes and prayers there and trying to help every way we can. I know that there's a church from Murfreesboro going down later on today to head down to deliver supplies and help dig out. So it's kind of a rough time with that. But then we also went over and had to deal with other things as far as the legislation in D.C., and that didn't stop either.
All right. I'll tell you what, we got a break here. Let's go ahead and throw that in real quick, and we'll come back and talk some more. We're talking with Congressman Mike Bost here on The People Speak, and we'll be back with more in just a moment. And welcome back. It is 9:37. This is The People Speak. Again, we're talking today with Congressman Mike Bost, and Congressman, we're talking about the damage from the recent storms, and that too, another area in our lives, I guess it's taking a hit is finances at the federal level and at the state.
The inflation numbers are just through the roof, Jeff. You know that you know we're seeing a 39-year high of 6.8% on inflation. It's gone up every month since the beginning of this administration. If you just look at it, where your paychecks are going, you know, gasoline is up 5.1%. You know, energy prices overall, 33.3%. Bacon is up 21%. Beef up 20.9%. Peanut butter up 12.9%. Chicken up 9.2%. Eggs up 8%. The list just goes on and on and on. And inflation can be caused by many things. But what inflation's definition is very simple. You have more dollars chasing less goods, which we would have had that somewhat in the fact that the trying to get goods in after the supply chain issue is affecting the way it is. That being said, this could be handled so much better because there's other things that affect the inflation. All of us are affected by the price of energy and the price of gasoline, and to all of a sudden, for this administration to stop production offshore, stop production in Alaska, stop production and transporting through our pipeline system, and then to go to OPEC and ask them to all of a sudden start reducing their prices to make him feel better, whenever before we were exporting oil, and that was a good stay for us. You know, those systems can be reversed fairly quickly, but you also now have the Democrat spending bill, which is the Build Back Better plan that they call it. I call it Build Back Beijing Better, because if you build back Beijing because of all the stuff we're going to have to export import instead of export as we chase this unbelievable set of bills that will only make inflation worse. Even Democrat economists say it will make it worse. Every economist that says it will make it worse. So much so that what's happening in the Senate is you have two Democrat senators holding it up, and I hope they hold their ground, because basically what happens here is Biden and Pelosi both lied to the American people by saying this socialist spending plan will be fully paid for. But then this last week, according to the Congressional Budget Office, which finally came out with their numbers, it cost. Now, understand that and I'll explain why these costs are two different things. But the way it's done right now, it costs $1.63 trillion and will add $367 billion to the deficit over the next 10 years. But since these programs that they're creating are only funded according to this bill for a 1 year or a 2 year or a 3 year period, when you actually look at the numbers and if you think that some program will be created, remember Ronald Reagan's great line, which is the closest thing to eternal life is a government program. And you know, the thing is, if you put those numbers all together, if they get everything they want in the bill and then it expands out, the real cost, and most of the economists are saying this is what the real cost is if it passed, because you're not going to shut it down, $5 trillion. and then it will add a $3 trillion to the national debt. But let's look at what all this proposal includes. It's got billions of dollars in the Social Green New Deal. It provides the administration with $8 million to aid and assist illegal aliens, $8 million to aid and assist illegal aliens. It includes $2.5 billion in bills that infringe on our ability to keep our and bear arms. It has $80 billion to the IRS to double the number of agents in the IRS, and I think we talked about this last month and maybe the month before. That's the way that you can only have a socialist government if the government can oversee every single penny that you have. Let me tell you what it doesn't include. It doesn't include protections to prohibit taxpayer dollars from going to be used for abortion. It mandates abortion coverage on Obamacare plans in states that did not expand Medicaid in those states. And billions for public health grants without the Hyde Amendment being attached. And the Hyde Amendment says that none of this can be used for abortions because you can't pay for taxpayer-funded abortion. The inflation, is skyrocketing, like we started out saying right off the start. And Nancy Pelosi's answers is increased taxes and on businesses, either shutting them down or chasing them out, and spend even more money than what COVID forced us to spend. Not good policies, Jeff, just not good policies.
Right. I mean, as I've always been told, there's only so much money out there to go around, and, I mean, when you're out, you're out. And
right,
you don't. I mean, you or I, your average citizen can't just go to the store and say, I want, and just start filling the cart if they don't have the money to pay for it.
Exactly. And what we're doing is, understand about inflation, what that is. When all the people are saying, no, I want a good economy where I can go to work and have a great job and a job that pays well and lets me help support my family, and provide the things that we'd like to have. Well, if all of a sudden this year your dollar is worth less, unfortunately, all nearing 10% less, that means your dollar is only worth 90 cents on what you can buy. And if you go to certain areas, it's even worse than that. It's not a good feeling, and especially whenever just before COVID, we were booming to the point that everybody was working. Anybody, you could find jobs, you could find work, and you could bid up if you found another job that paid a little better or something that you had desired the jobs you had sought to go into. They were available. We've got to get swinging back that direction, and we got to quit our spending. That's all there is to it.
Exactly. And like you said, too, and the quote from President Reagan, it's like once it's in place, it's hard to remove it.
Right. The other thing besides the economy we've got to watch out for, one of the other things we did before we left for this break, for the Christmas break, was pass the NDAA, which has to be done every year, and that's the National Defense Authorization Act. So, and this is important to so many people, and they understand this, because I remember in my district, I represent 22,000 men and women who live and or work at Scott Air Force Base. I'm very proud of our National Defense Authorization Act that provides a 2.7% pay increase to all the service members and provides that DOD, it prohibits DOD from dishonorably discharging service members that refuse the COVID-19 vaccine, because that's a real problem right now. They're wanting to force this down, but it also, what the NDAA did this time, it holds the Biden administration accountable for what the withdrawal from Afghanistan. It requires a series of reports to Congress on the number of American citizens, aircraft, vehicles, and weapons that were left behind in Afghanistan. We want to analyze the threat posed by Al-Qaeda and other terrorist operations in Afghanistan and the final asset of resources available to the Taliban and how well-funded they are because of our mistakes. It also prohibits the DOD from providing any financial support to the Taliban. You know, it strengthens the national security by continuing funding the deployment of National Guard to the borders. And it fully funds measures to counter China and Russia's influences in the world. So the NDAA is something that we've always supported, especially Republican support. We try to get as many Democrats on. It usually passes. This time there were 70 people that voted against the NDAA for various reasons. Some of them were made up, and there were only 19 Republicans that voted against it. So, but it was passed very as well it should have been, because national security is what we're supposed to do.
Right. So, I'll tell you what, we've got another quick break here. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way.
Okay.
We'll come back and talk some All more right. with Congressman Mike Boster in just a moment. You're listening to The People Speak. And welcome back. Got a little bit of time left in our program today. Again, we're talking with Congressman Mike Boster. We've talked about the recent storms through the Midwest, the debt ceiling inflation. What else have we got going on, Congressman?
So I'm trying to give you a rundown of things that are happening right in D.C. right about the time we left. You know, some of it is just busy work or somebody trying to message or whatever. There was a bill that was a bill that I felt was unnecessary because we already have existing bills. We already have this existing laws out there to try to stop this. Omar and the squad carried a bill that had to deal with Islamophobia. And you know, no one should ever be attacked or denied the rights because of their faith, okay? But also, this same group is the ones that stood up and would not support many things that would stop the aggressively attacking Israel. So, at any rate, you know, this bill was redundant, and in the State Department, the State Department already has offices that monitor and seek to combat any religious oppression in the world, regardless of whether it is because of Jewish, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, it doesn't matter. Those laws are already in place. So this was a messaging bill that they were trying to do to try to keep busy while they were trying to push the Build Back Beijing bill. And then, of course, some other bills that were out there that we worked that are out there, you know, always discussing, you know, the decision on these vaccine mandates. You know, the decision to get a vaccine should be between you and your doctor, not the federal government, okay? Mm-hmm. And there's about three pieces of legislation, legislation and letters that I've been on. One is the Stop Vaccine Mandates Act. In a Congressional Review Act resolution to rescind the mandates that were being put on by the president to private businesses. Now, that's all where they've been beat out in court and said that they don't have that power, but many businesses were scared of what the federal government would do. And then also using OSHA as a government tool to punish those businesses that don't have mandates in their private business. Now, I also signed on with the Congressional Review Act resolution to overturn President Biden's mandates on healthcare workers. They're healthcare workers. They know and understand their own health situation. They know and understand where they should decide and when they should decide to have or not have vaccines. You know, and then also a piece of legislation was the Fairness for Federal Contractors Act that prohibited federal agencies from mandating vaccines on contractors and our subcontractors. So you got that. We were dealing with the mandate stuff. We also had to deal with the debt ceiling. You know, I have supported debt ceiling in the past because we have to do it when we get to that point. But working families right now, you know, struggling with price of increasing of essential items like we talked about earlier, like gasoline and groceries and household goods and any rate, the federal government needs to restore some fiscal sanity. And, you know, and I didn't vote for the speaker's bill or President Biden's additional $2.5 trillion. And Democrats shouldn't be asking for the debt limit increase just so that they can spend more money when right now we're spending at the level we are. Now, there were a couple other things that were pending out there. You know, they tried to make a motion for this ridiculous non-bipartisan, it's strictly a partisan, even though you have Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger on the committee, this January 6th commission, who actually tried to hold, or actually they voted to try to hold Mark Meadows in contempt. Well, you know, I've always said that the party should be punished. You know this on this program. I've said it. The party should be punished who were violent and destroyed property on January 6th, and they should be held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, however, it's really clear that instead of doing the investigation into the security and what all broke down that day and how do we not let that happen again, this group on this committee is once again just wanting to go ahead and make political tax on the former administration because that's all they've got. They sure can't stand on their own policy. And, you know, Mark Meadows is currently right now, and this is really clear why it was we shouldn't have held him in contempt. He's involved with a federal lawsuit, which is determining what materials fall under executive privilege. So once the lawsuit can tell him what executive privilege is, then he would know what testimony to give and what he could give and what information he couldn't give. And so this shows how partisan and just ridiculous this is. You know, the House shouldn't be holding somebody in contempt before they have a chance to see what the rules of the game are. So these are the type of stuff we're dealing with. I'm glad right now that the Congress is out and that we're back for Christmas. And my hope is that everybody gets to enjoy Christmas. And I know that we're still going to help. Like I said at the start, we're going to try to help anybody that's been suffered through with the storms. But hopefully everybody gets to spend the quality time with their family.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're out of time, but I do appreciate you taking time, and we always look forward.
Thank you, and thanks to the listeners for their support and friendship, and reach out to our office if you need it. And everybody needs to have just a wonderful, wonderful holiday. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
And same to you and your family.
All right, Jeff. Thank you.
All right. For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.